All right, so we're going to be in Romans 12. Let's talk this morning briefly about relationships. And you guys have heard me say many times, I know, that when it comes to a relationship with the Lord, how can you expect to know the Lord and have a good relationship with Him if you don't spend time with Him? It's just like your friends, it's just like your family. If you don't spend time with your friends and family, those relationships, they suffer. You know, I told my wife, I came to a realization, I called up one of my brothers and we had some business things we needed to discuss, and I asked him, I said, hey, would you stop by and let's go over some things? And he said, well, how about going out to dinner? And I said, you know, I don't really want to go out to dinner. I'm not eating as much as I used to. I prefer to just do it here at that place. And he said, well, okay, I'll get back with you. And as time went on, a week or so went by, I hadn't heard from him. And I got a little perturbed over some things. And I said, you know, he always wants to discuss things on his terms, in his place, in his way. And then I found out that his wife had just had her appendix removed. Found out some things that were going on as well in his wife's family, and things that I knew about but didn't realize they had gotten as bad as they had. And I remembered something. I said, you know, he and I used to go out to dinner all the time. We used to go out to dinner at least once a week. And we haven't been out to dinner in years. And I said, you know, it's just possible you just want to go out to dinner. And I kept thinking that relationship with him is not what it should be. And a big part of it is because I have not been spending time with him. Now, you can say that maybe he didn't make an effort to reach out to me. He didn't share these things with me. But on the flip side of that is that the phone calls in both directions, right? And so our relationships tend to suffer if we don't put an effort into them to grow them. And so when we're talking about a relationship with Christ and we're talking about our one-on-one true understanding of what the Lord wants from us, it requires effort. It requires time in prayer. It requires time in scripture reading. And it requires time in dedicating our lives in a direction that we are not normally headed in. The world is a very, very strong influence on the Christian and the non-Christian. And the Apostle Paul takes the opportunity in the book of Romans to go from chapter 1 all the way through the end of chapter 11, and he lays out all of these wonderful things about God's grace. And he talks about God's mercies, and he talks about salvation, and he lays out this wonderful picture of who Christ is and why we should want to have a relationship with him. A relationship that renews us, a relationship that leads us to everlasting life. And then in chapter 12, he starts to change his tone a little bit and put together a picture of exactly what we need to be doing in our lives in order to realize the benefits of that relationship. And so we want to look this morning at some of the verses there. We won't get very far because I think we can discuss this really in depth as we move along. And let me get this up here. What have I done? I was studying this and now they're all my books are closed. Hang on a minute. I don't know what I did. Turn to Romans 12, please, if you would. You got your Bibles, you got your particular books, and I will open every one of mine. There it is. I usually have this all laid out nice and neat, and I did, and now it's gone. I say, well, I blame my wife. I blame Microsoft. You don't.
Thank you.
This is an Apple product.
Sorry, you're on your own.
Thanks for
your
time.
Yeah. Wish I could go there with you, but it's a journey I can't take right now. All right, so in Romans chapter 12, Paul starts to talk about a being a living sacrifice. And so he uses the word therefore, and therefore always refers back to something else that he's covered, and then it brings it forward to say, because of all of this, I need you to consider this. And the therefore that he's talking about here is everything he's just written from chapter 1 all the way through the end of chapter 11. And so he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So he's telling us, this is, I think it's entitled A Living Sacrifice in most scriptures. But he's telling us that the first thing we need to do is to hand over our bodies to the Lord. And I want to get some ideas from you this morning. How do we do that? How do we become a living sacrifice? Better yet, what is a living sacrifice? Do we have any examples of living sacrifices in Scripture? Can you point to anything that might give us a picture of a true living sacrifice in Scripture? Said well-timed coffee drink to give you guys time to think. I can take a second if you like.
John the Baptist.
That's an interesting one. Why would you go there?
Well, he handed over all comforts and everything.
He did.
He was not living a high life, eating locusts, honey locusts, and wandering and getting rebuked wherever he went because of his message.
It sounds like a fun life, doesn't it?
Yeah, real fun.
I hadn't thought of John the Baptist. I will tell you that Wiersbe says that in Scripture, and I think there might be some arguments to that, but Wiersbe says in Scripture we only see two examples of a living sacrifice. And one he points out is Christ. I think we could all go there pretty easy.
I didn't want to take the easy route.
No, I understand that. No, don't ever take the easy route because I'll call you out on it. No. But the other woman he points out as a living sacrifice is one I didn't think about. And that's Isaac. He says Isaac was willingly going mm-hmm. to the altar. Mm-hmm. Isaac had completely given himself over as a true sacrifice to whatever the Lord would have. And in doing so, in laying himself upon the altar, and then the Lord saying, no, I will provide this lamb, he had completely sacrificed himself and all of his own personal desires, anything that he would have wanted at that moment, and set it aside to say, God, whatever you want is what I want. Because he was old enough to rebel. He was old enough to not listen to these commands, right? But yet his desire was to go along with it. And so if you think of it in terms of being wholly committed to whatever the Lord wants, and come to the realization, typically we think of a sacrifice and we think, well, okay, it is something that we give up. It is something that, or perhaps you go to Old Testament sacrifices. It's something that was killed to sacrifice for forgiveness of sins or however you want to look at it. It's difficult to think of ourselves as a living sacrifice, but if you really come down, boil it down to, when we give ourselves over to Christ, and we die to ourselves, and we die to this world, and we are walking a new person, then we are a living sacrifice in that picture. And we hand ourselves over to God and say, God, whatever you want. And when you look at what Paul says here, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is how you worship the Lord. You worship the Lord by giving yourselves over in sacrifice to the Lord to do whatever he has called you to do. In obedience, getting up each morning, And it's, I'll see if I can find this here. Again, I keep going back to Wiersbe, but Wiersbe talks about how he spends his mornings. And let me bring this up here. He says, let me read this to you. He says, before we trusted Christ, we used our body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But now that we belong to him, we want to use our body for his glory. A Christian's body is God's temple because the Spirit of God dwells within him. It is our privilege to glorify Christ in our body and magnify Christ in our body. And he says, of course, just as Jesus Christ had to take on himself a body in order to accomplish God's will on earth, so we must yield our bodies to Christ that he might continue God's work through us. We must yield the members of our body as instruments of righteousness for the Holy Spirit to use in doing of God's work. The Old Testament sacrifices were dead sacrifices, but we are to be living sacrifices. Then he goes on to talk about the two sacrifices that we discussed here just a minute ago. And he says, of course, our Lord Jesus is the perfect illustration of a living sacrifice because he actually died as a sacrifice in obedience to his Father's will, but he rose again. He talks about where, when Paul says present, he says the verb present here means a once and for all presentation. We're not just saying, the term everybody uses, I'll try Jesus. Yeah, this is not a trial period. This is, I am giving over myself to the Lord in a 100% once and for all action to say, I want to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. And he says, it is this once for all commitment that determines what we do with our bodies. And Paul gives us two reasons for this commitment. One, it's a right response to all that God has done for us. And two, this commitment is our reasonable service and spiritual worship, which means that every day is a worship experience when your body is yielded to the Lord. And we talk about in Christianity so often, we say, give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. But there's so much that really is implied by that statement that we don't really discuss. Christian service and truly following the Lord can't happen if your body's not doing what it's supposed to do, if you're not giving yourself over as a living sacrifice. So questions or comments there? Okay, let's look at this next part. I'll tell you what, this is the most trouble I've ever had. There it is. So the next part, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
By testing?
By testing. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's try and get there. First off, let's look at the first part. Do not be conformed to this world. Paul has given us a separation here between two things. He's saying there is a there's a conforming nature about this world, that if we give into it, our minds and our actions will start to be shaped by the sinful world that's around us. You take our sinful nature and you take the world that's around us, and we will easily conform unless we do what he says in the second part. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So what did we say just a minute ago? The Wiersbe said that the Christian body is a temple for the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. So it sounds as if Paul is giving a little bit of a command here, saying, listen, you've got to open yourself up internally. You've got to let your mind be transformed, be changed, be metamorphosized from the inside out. That's not conforming, that's transforming. That is changing. The Holy Spirit will change you if you let the Holy Spirit change you. The other thing that Paul is saying here, and I think we need to be aware of, is that when we make a decision for Christ, it is not generally a flip the switch, automatic, boom, I am now holy in my actions, I recognize all my sin, I know what I should be doing differently. There's a transformation that needs to take place. Now, granted, this happens at different speeds, it happens at different times, there's different levels of maturity, depending on how much you know, how much can God work with. There's a lot of variables, I think, that go into this. But Paul is making it very clear that you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work deeply within you and transform your mind and your thinking to a point where you can use your body in the way it was meant to be used, to do what it was meant to be, what was meant to be done with it. And so there's a process here. And then look at that next section, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The natural flow here is that until you allow yourself to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, it is difficult for you to look at decisions, it's difficult for you to look at things and know how to discern, is this the will of God or is this the will of God? Because if you're being led by the world and not being led by the Holy Spirit, and your mind is still on worldly things, then the testing that you do will be flawed. The questions that you ask will not be the right questions. And so you need to be transformed, let your mind be renewed. The word transformed here actually is also the same word that we get the transfigure word from, where, you know, it is a major change. And so if your mind is renewed and you're where you need to be and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, then when you look at a situation or you test and you work toward a discernment in order to try and follow the will of God, you'll be able to tell what is good and acceptable and perfect. You'll have a better moral compass. I go back to that terminology. Does that make a little more sense, Jamie?
KJV uses a different word than testing, and to me, it's a little bit easier to understand. Mm. It says, you know, once you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, and your focus is on biblical, Christ-like things, so you've totally changed your worldview, you prove, it says that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you've already made that change and you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you're now out there in the world and you're proving that goodness and the will of God by the way that you live and the things that you do.
Yeah,
it's like that. Kind of the way I took it there.
Yeah.
Which falls back to Matthew when you get your charge to go out into the world and speak to others and lead them to Christ and to be a light in a world that's dark.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And you can't get there without the renewal of your mind. Mm-hmm. You just can't get there. And this is where Paul has just spent 11 chapters talking about God's grace and then turning it around to say, listen, because of all of these things that we know to be true, because of what Christ did for us on the cross, because of we absolutely 100% understand that Christ is the way, then we have to give ourselves over and allow ourselves to be changed. And in that process of renewing our mind, discerning what God's will is in our life, and handing our body over so that we may be used in such a way, what's going to happen? He goes back to the very first thing that we started talking about here this morning, and that is our relationship with the Lord, because we have handed ourselves over because we are striving to spend time, because we are making decisions that are led by God in everything that we do, our relationship with Him gets stronger. It gets better. We learn to trust Him. We learn that even though we are facing challenges, we learn that even though we have relatives and sicknesses that are and cancer and all these things that are going on are in and around us, we can start to see Him work through all of that. And sometimes the only way that we can get through those things is being able to see Him and trust Him and know that He's in the midst of it all. And that relationship is invaluable. Jesse's doing it this morning. Yeah. So it all goes back to building that relationship. And so if you're willing to do these things, if you're willing to work this way toward building that relationship with the Lord, it will change everything that you do. You know, there was I was watching a series on Romans 12, and the instructor that I was watching do some teaching, he actually started off talking about children. And he said, it's interesting that most of us who are parents, before our children were ever born, we had this thought about, or this vision, or this plan, whatever you want to call it. My kids are going to do this. My kids are going to be involved in this. And they're going to, you know, and then the list goes on. You know, you'd already picked out their career choice, what car they were going to drive, who they were going to marry, and how much money they were going to make before they ever got here. All of these, most of these things, right, relating to worldly desires. And as a Christian, when you first have that child and the relationship with that child develops and they start to grow and they start to not make some of the choices that you wish they would make, or they don't go down the career path you wish they would take, you get to a point in your life as a Christian parent where you say, you know, the only thing I really care about is who they are. I really care about the fact that they love the Lord. I really care about the fact that they treat other people in a godly manner. I really care about the fact that they are desiring to be obedient to the Lord more than they're desiring to be obedient to me. You know? And when you get to that point and you realize that the concern is greater about what kind of a person they're going to be and how their walk with the Lord is, and how much more important that is than any other worldly pursuits you had, you can set yourself apart for a minute and think about, how does our Father look at us? And so if you're ever asking yourself, what is the most important thing to God that I do? Think about yourself as an earthly parent and what's the most important thing that you want to see from your children. And God, no question, desires us to get closer to Him, to build that relationship. I mean, as parents, we want to have good relationships with our children, right? And we want them to be godly. And that's the same thing that God wants to see out of us. How are we growing in our relationship with Him? Are we desiring to be obedient? And again, going back to what Wiersbe says, it brings home the whole picture of Christ is that perfect example, as He is for everything. But Christ is the absolute perfect example, because when He was here, every step He took, every breath He took, every word He said was out of an abundance of care to be obedient to what the Father had called Him to do. And that was to eventually sacrifice Himself upon the cross so that the rest of us may have a path to live. And so we have to wrap our heads around and our brains around what it means to live a life like that if we want to fully experience God's goodness. Because that's, you know, if you believe in the concept that the more satisfied God is in us, the more satisfaction we find, because we are living for him and the blessings that come from that, even in times of trouble, even in times we don't understand. When we have that relationship that's growing, you know, I often try to explain sometimes that being a Christian, it never means that the walk is going to be easy. It never means that you're not going to have difficulty in life. But what it does mean is that you don't lose joy through it. What it does mean is that as these things face us and we get hit by them and we feel like, you know, we're just getting pummeled, that somehow through it all, through our relationship with the Lord, we are able to find something positive that sustains us and brings us through. And it's just the Lord carrying us to get us out the other side. And I feel for those who have not come to that realization.
I had a very nerdy metaphor that just kind of spit into my head, partly because I'm using my phone here to read and stuff like that, but it feels like a lot of what we're doing, to make it a metaphor, we're a phone. We're in human operating system 3.0. We need to upgrade to Christ 4.0. We get better reception from God. We get better broadcasting power to those we want to message to. We get better clarity, and you keep wanting to upgrade as you grow.
You get closer,
you get better reception, you get more truth and clear broadcast.
Yeah. You know, it's very nerdy, but it's just...
Well, but you see him more clearly.
You have better battery life.
Yeah,
what I mean in battery life is the world wears you down.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you get better battery life. It doesn't wear you down as much. Going back spiritually, and you grow, and you don't get fatigued by the world because you're sustained through a new upgrade. You know,
I get it.
You have to switch, because if you haven't switched yet, it's not going to let you. You can just try and do something on an old phone. It won't let you. You have to make that commitment to switch in order to be able to do the things that God wants you to do.
You remind me of something a guy I used to work with told me one day. He said, I look at the New Testament as a software upgrade.
Yeah.
I said, you do? He said, yeah. He says, it was a major benefit, but not everybody bought it. So, okay. I guess I can go along with that to a degree. But you're right. And you have to think about it in terms of really what connects for you, right? What makes it work? And all those things you were talking about, to me, I just see a picture of standing on the rock, you know, as opposed to the sinking sand. Because the more weight that you get put on top of you when you're standing on sinking sand,
you sink faster,
right? Yeah, you keep going down and going down and going down to the point where you're just constricted and all the weight's on top of you. But if you're standing on the rock, if you're standing on a firm foundation, you have that support, and those things may pile on top of you, but you've got the strength to deal with it and to keep going, and you don't lose that mobility and that movement. And so there's so much there to delve into. Any other comments or questions there?
We had gone to a conference last year down in South Carolina, and they related it, the like your biblical worldview, to glasses. And so they had all these different things on the screen, and you could put your biblical glasses on, and now it makes sense. Like, kind of, now it's all clear, and you see it in a different way, which I thought was kind
of cool. That's kind of cool.
And it just changes the way that you look at everything, and you should challenge yourself to change the way that you look at everything, too.
You should.
Biblical perspective, so.
You definitely should. I said if people were making all their decisions in life, what they buy, who they hang out with, what they watch on television, you know, I think there's a list. who you voted for, whatever, right? And if you were truly, truly saying, I want to pull my emotions out of this, I need to take myself away from this, and I need to turn to God and say, all right, Lord, what would you have me do? And really try to filter everything through scripture and prayer, the world would be a totally different place. Totally different place. And it takes effort. And I like your what you said there, Crystal. You need to challenge yourself and say, am I doing this for me? Am I making this decision because this is something I desire? Or is this something that can honor God in a wonderful way? And there are a lot of things that you may find yourself going, I should go in a different direction. But there's a lot in these just two verses of scripture where we are told to be a living sacrifice and to renew and not conform our minds. And I like what you read from the King James about proving. But this is our way of worship. This is how we give ourselves back, and it's how we begin to develop that relationship. Next week, we'll start moving on through the rest of these verses, but we're going to talk about relationships in a different way. We're going to talk about relationships with one another and talk about the body of Christ and see where all that takes us as we go down that tunnel next week. So I expect you all to have read it and to be here. Right.
Test in the morning before we start.
Of course, yeah. Gonna lay it all out there for you. No, I appreciate you all being here this morning. We're gonna wrap up and on the sanctuary, and we'll see where next week takes us. Brad, would you close for us this morning? Yeah. Thanks.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for another day of life that you've given us, and the opportunity and freedom to come to your house, Lord, and worship you. Lord, thank you for Brother John and delving into Romans 12. And Lord, we just ask that we just take those words to heart. And Lord, be with Brother Tink this morning as he delivers your message. Just use him as your vessel and your voice to speak through him, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's one in the service that doesn't know you as his or her personal Savior, make that decision. Lord, we just, again, lift up all these prayer requests that we mentioned this morning. Just answer those as you see fit, Lord. We just ask for your will to be done in every situation. Lord, go with us the rest of this week. Forgive us of our sins. It's these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.